there's a lily, it's in the valley. Oh yeah, and it's bright as the morning. Well, I know there's a lily, it's in the great God, and it's brighter than the morning. Well, I know there's a it's in the great God, and it's brighter than the morning star. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. Lord, there's a Savior. He's in the great God, and he's brighter. Lord, I know there's a Savior. He's in the great God, and he's brighter. Well, I know there's a he's in the great God, and he's brighter than the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, amen. There's peace, yeah. It's in the, oh yeah, and it's brighter than the morning star. Well, I know there's peace, yeah. It's in the, and it's brighter than the morning star. Well, I know there's, well, it's in the, oh yeah, and it's brighter. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. His name is Jesus. 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 The greatest name on earth. The sweetest name on earth. His name is the dome of all vocal grandeur. God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. No wonder they said his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to introduce a series of messages, three-part series. You have your personal copy of the world's bestseller. I want to call your attention to the Gospel according to John. The chapter is number 6. And the verses for your consideration are 70 and 71. John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71. You have that? Say amen. 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 Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. As that text is read, I want to use it as a launching point and share the message. A series of messages is what we can learn from Judas. What we can learn from Judas, or 12 critical lessons from Judas. That's what we want to talk about this morning, part one. Initially, I thought about dividing this message up into two lessons. Six lessons today and six on next week, but I thought better of that. Amen. I like pie, but I don't like too much pie. Praise God. So this morning we're going to share four lessons from Judas. Life is about learning. Learn means to gain information or skill through education or experience. Learn is to gain knowledge about something or somebody. Life is about learning. Life is about living. Amen. We need learning on many levels. We need secular learning. In a secular setting, we may learn about psychology and biology and zoology. But in the spiritual realm, we need to learn about morality and theology. And that can only come to us from the Bible. I want to talk about Judas. Now, of course, Judas was a common name in biblical times. In fact, one of Jesus' brothers' name was Judas. But the Judas that I want to talk about for the next 3 weeks is Judas Iscariot. This is the Judas that we're going to be concerned about. And I think that there are some relevant lessons about Judas. Now, let me just give you the four things I want to talk about this morning. Number one, the story of Judas shows us the importance and the value of examples. The story of Judas shows us the value and importance of examples. The second lesson will be the story of Judas shows us that we should take advantage of opportunities. Lesson three is the story of Judas shows us that we should protect the good that's in our lives. And lesson number four, the story of Judas tells us or shows us that we should really care about people. These are four lessons that I want us to think about this morning as we look at the life of Judas. Can Judas help us to get it together? Can Judas help me to live a better life? Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit thought it was important to include the story of Judas in the Bible. I think we just kind of give a passing cursory glance at Judas. Yeah. But there are some important and even critical lessons we can learn from the life of Judas Iscariot. And the first lesson is, his story. These California preachers. They say, you know my glory, but you don't know my story. You done heard that, ain't you? Amen. Well, do you know the story of Judas? The story of Judas teaches us the importance and the value of examples. We all need examples. Little children need examples. There are some people who say, I don't want to be a role model. But you know, everybody is watching everybody. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so, an example is a model of a thing, a person, or event that is to be copied or imitated. Now, of course, in the Bible, there are good examples. The Bible tells us that Jesus has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Yes, so I need the example, the pristine, the impeccable, the perfect example of Jesus. I need that to help me in my life. Amen. But also, Brother Samuel White read so beautifully from 2 Corinthians, Brother 1 Corinthians chapter 10. About bad examples. Yes, do you not know we need both good and bad? Amen. Because life ain't all good. All right. Life ain't all pretty. Amen. There are some ugly things about life, and we need to know about those things. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And so we need good and bad examples. God in his infinite wisdom has given us. Whenever God gives me a good example, he's telling me this is the way it ought to be. Whenever God gives me a bad example, God is telling me this is the way it shouldn't be. Is that all right? And the Bible speaks to us sometime. The Bible speaks to us in many ways. Sometime the word of God speaks to us in a direct command. Sometime the word of God speaks to us in a clear and specified instruction. Sometime the word of God speaks to us in a parable. Sometime the word of God speaks to us in a proverb. And sometime the word of God speaks to us in an example. I need to hear the proverb. I need to hear the parable. I need to hear the command. I need the clear and specified instruction. But God also says, here is an example. And Judas Iscariot shows us the value of an example. Now there was a Chinese philosopher by the name of Lao Tzu. And Lao Tzu said, if you can correct your mind, you will correct your life. See, if you get your mind right, you can get your life right. Mm-hmm. If your mind messed up, your life gonna be messed up. Is that right? Right. Then there was another philosopher by the name of Thoreau. And he said, in order to make deep mental paths into your mind, there are some dominant thoughts you need to think about over and over again. Because whether you know it or not, our lives are controlled by our dominant thoughts. Because as you think in your heart, so are you. What you been thinking about all week? What was on your mind this week? Is that all right? That determines where my life goes. Is that right? And so examples help me to focus on that which I need to focus on. And Judas is an example of how things can go wrong. Amen. And all of us, I'm convinced this morning, want to keep our lives on track. Amen. We don't want to get derailed, do we? Yes, we don't want to get sabotaged. Yes, We want to stay intact and on purpose. Is that right? So if Judas was not important, why would the Holy Spirit have given us? Do you realize how much information is in the Bible about Judas? There's a lot of information in the Bible about this man, which lets me know that there's some valuable instructional material and information about this man called Judas. Well, it teaches me the value and the importance of examples. Our young people need role models. We need strong black men in the church of God to help our young black men be all they can be. Is that right? And that real men do love Jesus. Is that all right? And because and smart men love Jesus too. And wise men love Jesus. Now foolish men don't. Hello? Because Jesus Christ is the best thing I got going for me. And if you be wise and admit it, you got to admit he's the best thing you got going for you. So the story of Judas teaches us the value. Haven't you had role models in your life? Has there been anybody in your life you looked up to? Bobby Womack said, no matter how I go, I'll be looking up to you. I said, go ahead, Bobby. I like that. He said, I had role models. I had somebody in my life that I looked at as a model. Amen. And I wanted to be like the person I admire. The story of Judas tells me that I need role models. The second thing is, the story of Judas tells me take advantage of opportunities. Brother Samuel White, I need you, brother. Because we're going to read quite a bit in this lesson, because I want the people to see this. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. An opportunity is an advantageous chance. How many this morning have had opportunities? Yeah. An opportunity is a situation that is favorable. Well, Judas had an opportunity. Now, whether you know it or not, all of us have an opportunity to go to heaven. Amen. Brother Ben made it clear this morning. It's going to cost something to go to heaven, but you can go to hell for free. Brother Ben, I appreciate that. When I go on tour, I'm going to preach that. Praise God. You can go to hell for free. And I say that Judas teaches us to take advantage of your opportunities. You got that text, Dr. White? Now, and what I want to show you is that Jesus chose Judas as one of his apostles. And there is no greater calling in the world than to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest work on this planet. There are many noble and wonderful occupations and professions, but none is higher than an apostle. Can you imagine the honor that the Lord bestowed upon Judas? Read it, Brother White. Came to pass in those days
that he went out
He went, and you know, before Jesus chose his apostles, he went to the mountains. Amen. Some folk like to go to the mountains. Amen. I said some folk like to go to the mountain.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
And Claudia didn't even look up. Come on, brother.
And continued all night in prayer to God.
And before he chose the apostles, he stayed in prayer all night. Mm-hmm. How many have ever prayed all night? That's deep, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
I remember I began to pray around about midnight, and I prayed till the sun came up. That was a spiritual experience. Just to see that sun, to see the darkness just peel away and the sun to rise up. And there I was in prayer. So he stayed in prayer all night. Come on.
And when it was day. He called unto him his disciples.
These are the apostles. This is the choosing of the apostles. Read it, Brother Wyatt.
And of them he chose
12. These are the 12 apostles. Come on.
Whom also he named apostles.
He named them apostles. They are the ambassadors for Christ. They are the representatives of Christ. And Judas was selected. I'm going to show you something about Judas that I never had seen, but I want to show you this morning. Read it, Brother Wyatt.
Simon, whom he also named Peter. And Andrew his brother. James and John.
Philip and Bartholomew.
Matthew and Thomas. James the son of Alphaeus. And Simon called Zealot. And Judas the brother of James. And Judas Iscariot.
Come on.
Which also was the traitor.
Who also betrayed him. So what, you said Judas had an opportunity?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he did. And to show you, unless somebody say, well, it really wasn't genuine, that's not true. Turn now to Acts 1:17. And I want to show you that his calling was genuine. Acts 1:17.
For he was numbered with us.
Talking about Judah. He was numbered. And Brother Wyatt just read, he stayed up all night. He woke up that morning. He called 12 men into the apostleship. Judas was among them. Is that correct? And what now? After something has happened, something tragic has happened. What happened? What did he say, Brother Wyatt?
For he was numbered with
us. He was numbered with us.
And obtained part of this ministry.
It was real, church. He had a wonderful opportunity. He was numbered with us, and he obtained part of this ministry. Is that verse 17? Is that all of that?
That's all verse 17.
All right. Now, I want to show you something. He had a level of success. He didn't just all do bad.
No, sir.
Let's go to I think it's Matthew 10 or either Luke 10. I want the limited commission. Matthew 1 through 10, 1 through 5. I think that's what I want. Go ahead.
And when he called unto his 12 disciples.
When he called unto him whom?
His 12 disciples.
12 disciples.
He gave them power.
Was Judas included in that?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't he part of the 12?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Didn't he have a wonderful opportunity? Amen. Wasn't he in a wonderful position? Read it.
And he gave them power against unclean spirits.
Even Judas could cast out devils. Cast them out.
And to heal all manner of sickness.
Judas could heal. Because the Lord gave him the power. What else?
And all manner of disease.
And Judas could heal all manner of disease. Come on.
Now the name of the 12 apostles.
Now he going to name them again. Y'all want to name them again? Hear the name game. Anna. Bofana, Banana Nana, Efana.
The first.
I went through with that, bro. Why? I guess I am. Go ahead.
The first.
Simon.
Who he called Peter.
Called Peter.
And Andrew his brother.
James, son of Zebedee.
And John his brother.
Philip.
And Bartholomew. Thomas. Matthew the publican,
the tax man. Come on.
James, the son of Alphaeus. Lebeus, whose surname is Thaddeus.
Okay.
Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot.
Judas Iscariot. Did he have success, church? Did he have a wonderful opportunity? Did you realize you have a wonderful opportunity today? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us and do what? How many glad to be here today? Amen. How many glad to be alive today? Amen. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful opportunity. Amen. To get out your bed and you can get up on your own power. Amen. That's a glorious opportunity. Amen. And every opportunity I ever had come from God, because James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you realize how many opportunities you still have in your life today? The last chapter ain't been written about your life. You still writing your life story. And aren't you glad God is good? And what he's telling you is, maybe you didn't get the job you wanted right now, but just hang in there. Amen. God might give you a better job. Amen. Maybe baby girl wouldn't holler at you. Maybe God gonna send somebody else. Huh? You've been looking for your husband. You want him tall, dark, and handsome. He might be short, fat, and dodgy. Hello! You know, blessings can come in strange packages. Amen. It's all right. I'm telling you, just like God gave Judas. He gave Judas, man, you've been called into the apostleship. What a wonderful opportunity you have. We have a wonderful opportunity. This is the day the Lord has made. God is giving me opportunity. And maybe I made a mistake. God is allowing me to correct it. I'm so glad they got erasers on pencils. I don't know what to do. Amen. I'm so glad they got reversing cars. Amen. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Because God, he gives. I may be living in sin, but yet the great God of heaven is giving me an opportunity to get myself together. Amen. An opportunity to make more money than you ever made. An opportunity to find happiness you didn't even think was possible for you. I'm telling you, take advantage of your opportunities. Is that all right? Amen. Judas, my next point is this. The story of Judas tells us we must learn to protect the good things in our lives. Amen. How many this morning got some good things in your lives? Amen. How many this morning got some good things going for you? Amen. Now let me share something with you, and this is just the way it is. Yes, sir. Everything that is good and valuable will be attacked. Amen. If you got a good marriage, it's going to be attacked. Amen. You got a good name? Everybody ain't going to praise your name. Amen. Everybody don't like you. They smiling in your face. I know y'all knew it. Is that all right? Anything you have that is of value and good is going to be attacked. And one thing we really need, all of us, Please don't be naive. What does naive mean? Naive means to be too open and trusting of life and people in life. We all need to grow up intellectually. Amen. We need to grow up emotionally. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, we need to grow up spiritually. Amen. You see, we got too many folks who have chronologically reached the age of maturity, but are immature. They hadn't grown up. Somebody make you mad, you don't speak for 6 weeks. Hello? And that's what's got the world all messed up. If you got something good in your life, you got to protect it. You got money in the bank. I was talking to Brother Trey Foster the other day, and I thank God for him. Brother Trey is a skilled brother. And he works in the fraud department. I said, God bless you, Doc. Protect my little money. I ain't got much, but I need to hold on to them few dollars I got. Is that all right? Because folks, every day trying to perpetrate fraud. Anything you got good in your life is going to be attack. Let me tell you why I say that. I want to go back to John chapter 6. I want to show you something. And this understanding hinges on the tense of a verb. The verb to be. The verb to be. The present tense of the verb to be. Brother White, I want you to read verse 17 again. Yes. 6:70. What verse 7 is saying?
Jesus answered them.
Jesus answered them.
Have not I chosen you 12?
Have not I chosen you 12?
And one of you is a devil.
Now, notice the tense of that scripture. No, that's not it. He said, and one of you is
a devil.
Not when I chose you, you was not a devil. But now you've become a devil. Because you didn't protect what was good in your life. Let's prove it. Let's prove it. I need Luke 22 now, 1-6. I'm telling you, if you don't protect your heart, right, the devil is going to take over your life. All right. Yeah. You say you used to didn't cuss. Now you cussing. Uh-huh. How you learn how to cuss? Mama didn't teach you how to cuss like that. I mean, you can cuss folks clean out. You can cuss with the best cussers. You say you strung out on dope. You weren't always strung out on dope. How you get strung out? You stealing now. You weren't always stealing. You lying now. You weren't always lying. Huh? Let's prove it. Luke 22, 1-6. What does it say?
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh.
Watch this.
Which is called the Passover.
All right, come on.
And the chief priests.
And the chief priests.
And scribes.
And scribes.
Saw how they might kill
now,
him.
Now, there are some people in this world up to no good. Yeah. They want to get you involved in it. Yeah. And if you ain't careful, you'll get caught up in something you never intended to get caught up in. Is that right? Now the enemies, the haters of Jesus, wanted to kill him, bro. So we got to try to get somebody that's close to him to betray him. When Jesus chose him, he was not a devil. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
For they feared the people.
For they feared the people.
Then entered Satan.
Into
Judas, named Iscariot.
I told you he wasn't a devil when the Lord chose him. All right. The text says, then enter
Satan into Judas.
Read, Brother Wyatt.
Being of the number of the 12.
And I showed you that Jesus chose 12. And Jesus said, I chose 12 of you, and one of you is. And now you see when it happened. Read it again. Satan did what?
Then Satan entered into Judas. Surname is Carrion. Being of the 12.
And
he went his way.
And
communed with the chief
priest.
How he might betray him.
How now Judas, who went out on the limited commission, casting out devils, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, is now looking for a way to betray him. You ever had a friend in your life that's no longer your friend? Amen. Have you been a friend and you no longer a friend? Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Is that right? But I got news for you. The devil was not just after Judas. He was after all of the apostles. Let me prove it. Drop down to verse 31, that same text, same chapter. Watch this.
And the Lord said. Simon, son.
Is Simon an apostle?
Surnamed Peter.
Behold. Let me tell you something. When Jesus said behold, you better pay attention. Behold.
Satan had desired to have you.
Now back up to verse 20. Two ways that Satan entered where?
Into Judas.
And now Judas is looking for an opening to betray Jesus. But I'm telling you, he was not just after Judas. He was after all of the apostles. Amen. Drop down now to 31 again. What does it say? Simon.
Behold, Satan have desired to have
you.
That he might sift you as wheat.
Brother West, markers. Doc, the devil after you, Doc.
Amen. All right.
And Doc, if you ain't careful, he'll get in your house, Doc. If you ain't careful, Doc, he'll get in you. He'll get in me.
Amen.
He desired to have you.
That he may sift you.
Grind you down to powder.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
But I prayed for
you. The Lord said, I prayed for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I prayed for you.
That your faith fail not.
Let me tell you something. If you lose your faith, the devil has won a victory. You stop, Brother Harris prayed in his prayer. I appreciate it. He prayed for the people who've fallen away. Satan after them.
Amen.
That's what done happened.
Amen.
Amen. You used to be in church every Sunday. Now you come. Well, I come when I can. Praise God.
All right.
But he said, but when you converted, when you get strength, you go out.
Strengthen thy brother.
And help somebody else. The devil got behind Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. And Peter asked, how is it you've allowed Satan to fill your heart that you lie to the Holy Spirit? You haven't lied to men, you've lied to God. And I want to tell you this morning that Satan is after weak Christians. Yeah. He's after strong Christians. He's after mature Christians. He's after immature Christians. And the only way any of us can protect ourselves from the devil's assault, we must put on the whole armor of God. Is that right? Here's the final lesson, church. The story of Judas tells us, and this really gets heavy, we've got to really care about people. Amen. Let's go now to John chapter 12. Judas got to a point, all he cared about was himself. You know some folks like that? Do you have some folks in your life who claim to be your friends and all they care about is themselves? I would advise you get some new friends. Hello? Now let me show you that Judas, look what's happened to him. Let's start with verse 1. Watch this.
Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany,
all right,
where Lazarus was, which had been dead,
all right,
whom he had raised from the dead.
All right, come on.
There they made him a supper, and Martha served.
All right, come on.
But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him.
Mm-hmm.
Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. And wiped his feet with her hair.
You know, I've heard people say a person one time got blessed with a financial blessing. God blessed them. And that person, God opened that person's heart. And that person wanted to give a financial donation to the church. And somebody said, I wouldn't give the church that money. All right, preacher. Child, that's just a waste. That gets pretty deep, doesn't it? Watch this. Go ahead. Now, she bought some, Brother Spurgeon, she got some ointment that was real expensive, and it sure enough smelled good.
And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
You know, some folks buy this cologne, man, it costs $200 an ounce. And when they wear it, you know they're wearing it. Praise God. Man, you got some, as they said, some boss sense in these stores. Some boss sense. Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't say boss sense. I said sense. All right, come on.
Then saith one of his disciples.
Now here she is anointing Jesus for his burial. Come on.
Jesus Iscariot.
Simon's son.
Which should betray him. Why was not this?
He said. Judas said. Why?
Was not
this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Amen. I told you that if you got something good in your life, you got to protect it. Hello? Amen. And you got to care about people. You can't act like you care. Why the world so messed up? All some folks care about it is themselves. Now Judas perpetrating now. He says they all on Mary's case. They're giving her a hard time. You was a fool to buy this ointment and go put it on Jesus. Girl, you could have sold this ointment for 300 pence and gave it to the poor. Let's see what happens.
This he said.
This he said.
Not that he cared.
Not that he cared
for the poor.
for the poor.
But because
he was a thief
and had the bag
and bear what?
Put therein.
Lord have mercy. Can y'all see this? But he was perpetrating. He said, why y'all wasting this ointment? We could have gave that money to the poor. But now what he wanted was to take that money, sell it, and put it in the bag, because he had the bag and he could help himself to what was in the bag. He didn't care about the poor. He cared about only himself. Lord have mercy. I'm so glad as I conclude. But I have a Savior that really cares about me. And I'm so glad that I got folks in my life that love me. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Oh, it's good to have folks in your life you know love you. It's good to have folks in your life you know will look out for you. Is that all right? And I know that Jesus really cares for me, because he said a long time ago, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. How many friends do you have? Some of them won't lend you $10. Let alone talking about laying down their life for you. Is that all right? And this is why Jesus said, this is why he taught us that you just can't live in this world, as I conclude, and just be concerned about yourself. You can't be a Christian and be selfish. That's an oxymoron. That is a contradiction. Is that right? And do you not know you can make your life better by reaching out, touching somebody? That's why Jesus said it is more blessed to give. But what was Judas about? Receiving. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to say that he wrecked his life because all he was concerned about. And let me tell you something, you can wreck your life if that's all you're concerned about. Now some people, they get in a situation, they get isolated by life. And look, I'm going to just tell it like it is. Now, this is not the way it ought to be, but it's the way it is. And that is, if you come across and you communicate to people that all you care about and all you think about is yourself, folks gonna pull up from you and leave you alone. And then you're gonna wonder, well, why won't nobody spend time with me? You did it. You did it. Is that right? Because he says, it's all about me. The rich fool, what did he say? It's all about me. God has opened the windows, as it were, of heaven and poured me out a blessing so great I don't have room to receive it. Well, rich man, what you going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. Let me think about it for a minute. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my I'm going to build some bigger ones. And I'm going to say to myself, boy, get on the push. Get you some country time lemonade. Yeah. Get in your rocking chair. Yeah. And you eat. And you drink. Yeah. And you be merry. But the great God who sits high and looks low said, no. You're going to die tonight. And all this stuff you've been boasting and bragging about, you won't be able to receive. You know, this is why the Lord said in his message, If you want to be great, become a servant. You want to be great? You know what made Dr. King so great? That great drum major for justice. We ain't seen many men like King, have we? Huh? King knew they were going to kill him. And that's why he said, if any of y'all around when I meet my day, don't tell them I went to Morehouse. Don't tell them I have a PhD or many other, but tell them I was a drum major for justice. The man, I didn't meet him personally, but what he did not only helped me, it helps you. But I go a little higher because what Jesus did on Calvary, the ultimate act of unselfishness, to go lay down your life that people might have eternal life. Oh, thank God for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why I'm loyal to the man. That's why I love him. I remember in a conversation with Brother Earl. Brother Earl said some wise thing. I listened to him. Earl, I know you remember this, man. We was talking. We was in my, you had come by the house. We was in my driveway. And this is what you said. You said, he's a man. I'm getting a little older. I got to get closer to that cross. But that's right. If you smart, what would you do? You get closer to that cross. Because the closer I get to you, y'all know what that song say. The more it makes me. Come on, Rutledge. I'm giving you all I got. Is that all right? Yeah, the closer I get to Jesus, yes, the better it makes me feel. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, sin can mess up your life. Sin ruined and it wrecked the life of Judas. Is that all right? And sin will wreck my life. It'll wreck your life. Why? Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I tell you, your sin will find you out. Is that all right? But glory to God, Brother Ben, he's got an antidote for sin. Glory to God, he's got some medicine for sin. Glory to God, he's got the hope for sin. Is that all right? And it's called grace. He said, well, sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Is that all right? That is not a situation grace can't handle. That is not a moment grace can't handle. That is not a development grace can't handle. Is that all right? Because in Jesus Christ, I have the embodiment of grace, Sam White. Because the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is that all right? When I looked at his glory, he turned water into wine. When I look at his glory, he touched twisted limb and they straightened at his touch. Is that all right? When I look at his glory, he unshackled the human heart from the bondage of sin. Is that all right? When I look at his glory, he made a way out of no way. Is that all right? When I look at his glory, oh, when I look at his glory, I see him getting up from the grave. Early one Sunday morning with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist. And he said, I once was dead. Oh, glory to God. But I'm alive forevermore. That's the message this morning. I got 8 more lessons I want to share with you. And I believe they'll bless your life. Amen. Remember, the story of Judas teaches us the value and importance of examples. The story of Judas tells me I should take advantage of my opportunities. The story of Judas tells me I should protect what's good in my life. And the story of Judas tells me I should really love people. Amen. Use things, but love people. Is that right? Because if you're just loving things and not loving people, it's going to catch up with you sooner or later. Would you stand, please? That's the message. There's one here this morning who wants to have the way of life. You can get it by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized. And that make you a child of the Most High God. If you're a child of God and there's sin in your life, don't be like Judas. Amen. Confess that sin and God will forgive you. Because he's a forgiving God, isn't he? And he's not willing that you should pay. This is serious business. I want to tell you, this church thing is serious business. We're talking about life and death. This is no joke. A lot of folks see it as a joke, but it's serious. Get your life right. And once you get it right, keep it right. Amen. Protect what's... You got faith in Christ? Protect that. Is that right? You got good things on your job? Protect it. Because it's going to always be attacked. But let me say this. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that a while on earth dost thou art called. Oh, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why. Oh, do not. Maybe seated.